Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A few weeks ago in Minneapolis, a teenage hockey player was suddenly checked from behind into the boards, and it severed his spinal cord partially so that he was paralyzed, and the reports are that he will never walk again. Suddenly, massive amounts of prayers were rising to heaven on his behalf, from his family, his friends, his classmates, even people that played against him on other hockey teams. From all around the state and the region, the country, they claim even in the world. Even some people who rarely, if ever, would pray were suddenly praying for this young man. It's at times like that we just have to find God. In this life, there are a lot of things for us to learn. There are a lot of games for us to play. There are a lot of things for us to do. There's a lot of food to eat. And yet, in the end, there are so many things that we cannot control. And there are graves waiting for us, every one of us. And there is this vast expanse called eternity out in our future that is so intimidating. And our best doctors may be able to extend our earthly life a little bit, but they have no answer for death. The highest advancements in technology that we enjoy and use in our day-to-day lives may improve certain aspects of our lives, but it does not provide help beyond the cemeteries. We simply must find God. We have to find God. So where do I look? Where do I go? Where do I search for him? Where is he supposed to be found? And why does he seem to be so hidden from us? When God himself looks down and watches us looking for him, when he observes our search, if you will, this is what he concludes as he tells us in his word. "There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable." There's a false notion in us that can swell up in our hearts, even inside of us who are Christians, who know God's word, that somehow this great spirituality in me, this great religiosity in me, this faith thing in me, is something that I've come up with, is something that I went out looking for God, and good enough, I found God. As if we can take some credit arrogantly for the fact that we now know God in our lives. The story of the wise men demonstrates a truth of Scripture to us so beautifully, and that is this. It is essential and necessary for God to be the one to reveal himself to us. And it was necessary for that to take place for the wise men and for us, because otherwise we wouldn't even know where to begin. It was necessary for God, through the use of his word and the star, to reveal the place of where he was to be found to the wise men. I often wonder, what idols had they been bowing to earlier in their lives? What strange incantations and rituals might they have been involved in earlier in their lives, prior to all of this? What strange belief system had darkened their hearts and their minds before God's revelation to them? And what about me? What about you? Had it not been for God, through his word and the waters of baptism, leading us to know who Christ is, what bizarre idol might we be bowing down to? You know, if you think about it, tracing it back, the history of Christianity just in your life and in your ancestry, there was some point at which somebody in your family, maybe it was even you, were looking for God in another strange place. What idol might be sitting on my mantle today were it not for God revealing himself to me? What strange smell of incense might I be using to seek and find God and burning to some unknown God? Even in Scripture, when we hear about God's own faithful people who he has brought to faith, to whom he has revealed himself, even those people, once they are left to kind of drift on their own and go back and try to find God apart from his word, what do we find them doing? They go back to strange places. Remember the Exodus and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt? And when Moses is up on the mountain, Aaron gathers the people together thinking Moses is now gone, and what do? He decides to gather all of the gold from them and shape it into a huge calf for them to bow down and worship. Yeah, that ought to do it, he thinks. Let's make ourselves some enormous livestock jewelry. That's where we can find God. That's the best that we would come up with on our own. And so it is necessary for God to be the one to reveal where he is to be found to us. But his directions often lead us to very unexpected places, places where you wouldn't expect to find him. The wise men, naturally, when they follow the star, follow it because it's close to Jerusalem, naturally think that if there's a place that I'm going to find the King of Heaven, it would be in a royal city and in a palace, which is why they come before Herod. The last place they would have considered on their own was to go to a barn and to go to a feeding trough with the smell of animal waste around. This is where God is supposed to be found. Not very exciting, not very spectacular. What about for us today? Where does the star of God's holy word lead you and me to find him and to seek him? Doesn't take us to very exciting places. A bowl of water with some words spoken in baptism. Some bread and some wine, again, with words spoken. To the proclamation of his word from this old book by people that look just like us. Not very exciting, spectacular places. But God's star of revelation settles above no other cradle than the one containing the Christ child, God made man. It's as if God is saying to the wise men and to us, look all around, but this is the only place that you will truly ever find me. This is the only place where you can have your sins forgiven, where you can have the hope of heaven, where you can have the holiness you need to get there, and where you have a future. It's the same little baby in Bethlehem that grows up in adulthood to say to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the one who also says, I have come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Yes, the star of Bethlehem over the manger of Christ, the star of Bethlehem condemns and judges all other world religions. As Peter says, salvation is to be found in no one else. And that's not arrogant to proclaim that truth as God does. The star did not hover over Mecca. It did not hover over a carved image. It did not hover over some pagan ritual, but above this little Christ child. Here and here alone is our God. Here and here alone is true religion and the hope of heaven. This is your gate to heaven. And so let us in faith kneel before him and bring him our gifts. Amen.